الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد أعوذ بالله من السميع العليم من الرحمن الرحيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وقال تعالى أيضا رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نحل والد ولد من نحل أفضل من أدب حسن سنن الترمذي أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected Hafaz, elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we begin and we commence with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah who is mine and your soul, sustainer, cherisher and nourisher. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, our mentor and our guide, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, every person wishes to have children who are the coolness of his eyes. Every parent desires to have children who are the coolness of their eyes. And rightly so. Because there is a dua in you to make on a continuous basis. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ. That Allah favor us and bless us with such children and spouses who are the coolness of our eyes. So it is the desire that our children must be the coolness of our eyes. In fact, our elders, the congregation, would relate to this. In the past, the elders used to say in Gujarati, they used to have a saying that they used to say in Gujarati, and it's unfortunate that the language culture has also left our homes and our traditions. Unfortunately, it's something that inshallah we need to try to reinvent the wheel. Not reinvent, it's there. We just need to make the children appreciate the languages that we learned when we were young, alhamdulillah. So nevertheless, anyway, our elders used to say, Aulad jevu dukni ne aulad jevu sukni. The pleasure and the comfort that children can give to parents is immeasurable in the acquisition of any material things. That is your investment. If your children are on the path of righteousness, wallah, the feeling of ecstasy and joy you get can with any material items of the world. In the like manner, in the opposite, the grief and the sorrow, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, and the sleepless nights that children can give to parents is also immeasurable. Allah save and protect our children. Now respected elders of every parent, that Allah bless us with children who are the coolness of our eyes. Now the perception that most people have is that if I educate my children in secular sciences, and if my child acquires a degree and what else, they will earn big money. And when they earn that type of money, I will be relaxed and I'll have an enjoyable life. That is the general perception people have. That I'll work hard, I'll put my children to schooling, I'll send them to the best of schools, I'll send them to the best of universities, and will job, and then I'll sit back and relax. Hence, the entire focus of the parent on the child becomes secular. And Islamic education is given very little and in some cases no importance at all. However, unfortunately, Allah forbid, I can in this week alone, I had overseen 3 cases that speak contrary to what I am telling you here. Where a parent has this desire in his heart that if my child acquires the secular sciences, he will reach a certain point in his life where I can sit back and relax. However, sometimes it goes contrary. In fact, father ends up earning and working harder in his life towards the end part of his life to feed those very children. Now, respected elders and friends, when the emphasis is only on material and secular, the child grows up to become a money-making machine. And what happens? He becomes beings. He becomes deprived of values and feelings. Hence, he feels that he can substitute his time and his service that he owes to his parents with wealth.
But he's not to be blamed. Because you have made that machine, that machine. You gave direction and you gave the instructions to that machine to make money. So day and night, that machine only knows how to make money. Now when it comes to owing you your debt, in looking after you, he feels that, that machine feels now, I just have to give money, I don't have to give my time in service. Respected elders and friends, enjoy wealth. But Allah forbid, we will not enjoy the company and the service of our children when we need it the most in our old age. In your old age, what would you prefer? You'll prefer money? You'll prefer a beautiful mansion? You'll prefer beautiful food? At that time you will be unable to eat. Your condition will be like that of a baby where Allah turns the cycle, the wheel of life. Just as you were born, you were dependent on your parents, there comes a time, Allah makes mention of this in the Quran, of how the cycle of life turns. In the like manner, you are going to reach an age in your life where you will be like that baby. Wallah, every minute that your child spends in your service will be worth gold. Think and ponder for a moment. Reflect on this, what I am telling you. You ask any old person, and he will bear testimony to what I am saying. And many a parents have told me that we just want their time. If they can just come and spend a few moments with us, it will mean the world to me. Mothers tell you this. Fathers, please this. Maulana, since he got married, he never came and visited me. They come once, now and then pass, just to pop in to say, hi, how's everything okay? At that time of your life, what would be more desirable? Think and ponder. But you have created this money-making machine. My respected elders and friends, children are your business. They are your business. And someone so beautifully said, your children are your business. The more effort you put into them, the greater the return. One is the return that we are desiring. We should make an effort. We should make them independent. And all that is necessary for them to walk onto this road of life, where they can become self-dependent. But you see, unfortunately, sometimes we play the provider role as well. We play Allah's role. That I need to provide for the next two generations. It's not your job. That is Allah's work. Allah will. When our parents had nothing, who looked after me and you? Many lost their parents at a very early age of their lives. Who looked after them, friends? Allah Rabbul Alameen looked after them. Many will bear testimony to this. And many will tell you their life stories. I promise you, every person who is sitting in this congregation will have a life story to tell you. My elders who are sitting here from 50, 60 plus will have a life story to tell you. That will make you cry. That how they were brought up in life. And how they stepped two, three of them in the kitchen. And in the rooms. And how one family used, five family used one car. They will tell you stories. But yet Allah looked after them. Today they are where they are today. Why they are today where they are today? Because of the du'as of their parents. Because of the du'as of their parents. The children are your business. How you invest in that business, you will get the returns. Yes, make them tread the path of life. But my respected elders and friends, don't do it. Don't do it by neglecting their deen, Islamic education. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us that imparting and making them righteous will serve as an offshore investment. He speaks of offshore investment. Everybody is looking at the best offshore investment. Wallah, the best offshore investment that you can have are your children. Because why? The hadith mentions, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ It's this world. إِنْ قَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلًا His action ceases to exist. Finish. Kalas. This is Darul Amal. There is Darul Jaza. This is the time you do actions. There is the time you reciprocate for your actions. So when your eyes close, finish. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلًا His ability to do action إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثِ SubhanAllah. Listen to this hadith and ponder over it. Except three things. صَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ Some sadaqah jariyah that a person had left behind. For example, in the form of contribution to the masjid. And until and unless that masjid is in existence and people are benefiting from it, to him. Or many, many other examples. He dug a well, for example, and people benefited from the water of that well until there's water in that well, until generations. Or he imparted knowledge and people because of him learnt an ayat of the Quran and that passed on, then passed on, then passed on. Second, أو علم ينتفع به knowledge which he had and listen to the last one ولد صالح ولد صالح يدعو له and pious children that will make dua for him that is the offshore investment that you need friends that is the investment that you need the day your eyes close Do you, after every salah, make dua for them? It's not something I was supposed to have said, but I do. Because my dua, the duas of my parents is closed, the doors are closed. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi writes, Once Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam passed by the grave of a person who was being punished. After completing his errand, on return, he sees the angels of mercy at the grave with large quantities of light and nur. I'm sitting in front, your place is here in front. So he was going And on his way, when he went, he seen that this person was being punished. Surprised to see that all of a sudden there's nur and light. And this grave is full of light and nur, subhanallah. He was amazed at this change. And he performed salah and he asked Allah Ta'ala for the reason for this. He asked Allah, the reason that on my way I was going to do this errand and this person was being punished. And here I come back and all of a sudden he's in the bounties of Jannah. What's happening? SubhanAllah, listen to this friends. Allah revealed to him, this person was a sinner. He was a sinner that you can't believe. And he was suffering my punishment. However, at the time of his death, His wife was expecting a child and she gave birth to a son and was admitted to the maktab. He was admitted to the madrasa. The teacher taught him Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most kind, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Allah says, I felt ashamed. Allah is feeling ashamed. Allah Rabbul Alameen. Mine your claim that I punish his father in his grave when his son is taking my name on earth. I felt ashamed that I punish his father in his grave when his son is declaring that I am Rahman and Rahim. Hi, my Allah. To read for you the day you leave this world. Who is going to stand at your qabr when you leave this world? Have you left that legacy of children behind who will come on the day of Yawmul Jumu'ah and read at the qabr of their parents and say, Wallah, grant my parents Jannat al-Firdaws. The scholars have mentioned that young children who are learning Quran, are a means of preventing the punishment of Allah Ta'ala coming to the people of earth. It is mentioned, when Allah wants to punish the people of the earth, then He sees learning how to read the Quran. Allah withholds the punishment. Allah withholds the punishment. Respected elders and friends, the importance of dini education can be understood that whenever anybody accepted Islam in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the main concerns of the Nabi of Allah was to impart dini education to them. Going to incidents, my time is short, will support what I am saying. From the incident of Umar radiallahu anhu accepting Islam, Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu would frequent the house of his brother-in-law and sister and teach them the Quran Majid. Umar radiallahu anhu's own sister and brother-in-law, when they accepted Islam, a teacher was assigned to them to teach them about Islam. This then became embracing Islam. Allahu Akbar. Look at the cycle. That a teacher was being appointed to teach his sister and brother-in-law how to read Quran. When Umar heard that Quran, he accepted Islam. Hence, perhaps I may not be wrong in saying, to a certain extent, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was a product of the Maktab and Madrasa. A giant like Umar, whom the Nabi of Allah said, لو كان نبي بعدي لكان عمر. Ulama have mentioned if Umar, Allah had blessed him with another 2 to 2.5 years, the entire world should have been under the rulership of Islam. He was the product to a certain extent of the first madrasa. When 12 members of Islam at the first Aqaba and returned to Medina, they sent a request to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should send someone to teach them how to read the Quran and the basic masail of deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiyallahu an to them as a teacher. Some narrations go on to say, during the time of Umar, this madrasa, this maktab was actually made formal. It's a maktab like we have today. And Hazrat Umar was the first person to implement the maktab system. In fact, it goes on to say, Amir bin Abdullah al-Khuzai, he appointed him to teach the children. And he also appointed a stipend for him from the public treasury. That is, he was given a weekly or monthly wages to teach those children. SubhanAllah. Respected elders and friends, initially, the entire day, subhanAllah. The books of Sirah mention this in the autobiography of Hazrat Umar, that he used to teach the entire day, but on the request of their children, the times were shortened from Fajr till mid-morning and Dhuhr till Asr. Became too much for them. And now, I must tell you what's the times now. Should I tell him, Uncle Abdul Razak? Allah Jalla wa Ala. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, Mawlana Mahmood al-Hassan Saab, was a great scholar of India. In fact, most of the scholars from the Indo-Pak continent had benefited from his knowledge. Towards the end of his life, 4 years in prison in Malta, very good book to read, The Prisoners of Malta. If ever you come across this book, buy a copy of it, The Prisoners of Malta. And in there, it tells you about how they went through in fighting the then British colony and in trying to establish a Khilafat in India. Nevertheless, he spent 4 years in this prison. And a large number of ulama and great, great people who used to teach benefited from him. Nevertheless, when he was released from prison, many, many, many came to meet him. Many people from across the world came to meet him. And at that time, there was a massive gathering of ulama and scholars from the Arab and non-Arab world. They came to meet him. And at the age of 80, he was giving some advice to the people. And so they asked him, that what could he have learned? So he so beautifully mentioned, he says that whilst I was sitting in the confines of prison, whilst I was sitting in the confines of jail, I kept wondering about the downfall of the Muslims all over the world in both their deen and dunya. I thought to myself that he himself was a teacher of 50 plus years of Bukhari. So he says that I gave great amount of thought, you know, like today we find, how can we reverse the situation? So he gave great amount of thought to the decline of why the Ummah is declining. After much contemplation, I came to two conclusions. One is, they're leaving the Quran Majid. And number two, the differences of infighting amongst themselves. These were the two conclusions that I came to. Hence, I made a firm resolve that the day Allah release me from prison, I will work my life, whatever Allah gives me, in spreading the words and the meanings of the Quran to the Ummah. A man of 80 years who dedicated his life to teaching, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, he says that whatever life Allah gives me after the age of 80, I will dedicate it to teaching the Ummah Quran-e-Majid. Respected elders and friends, in order to learn the Quran-e-Majid, the madrasa for children, every village, people should be encouraged to learn the Quran teachings. And respected elders and friends, in this country Allah has blessed us with such a great bounty. Wallah, many of you might have traveled during the period of the holidays. Anywhere in the world that you come across a system that we have here in South Africa. Wallahi, did anybody come across any system that we have here in madrasa? Where next to Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And may Allah continue to allow it to grow. And may Allah reward those who are responsible for its growth as well. Respected elders and friends, children as young as 5 years are learning how to teach, how to learn Quran, are learning the various aspects of deen. Let us not underestimate this maktab, and let us not underestimate that simple apa and that ustad who has come to teach us. Wallahi, if you set up your phone and make a salam. And if they have left this world, make thawab e jariya for them. Make sadaqah e jariya for them. Give a 10 rin or whatever you can afford. That, oh Allah, this is for my ustad that taught me alif ba ta tha. This is for my ustad that taught me, because of her or because of him, I am able to read Quran. Nevertheless, respected elders and friends, Allah has blessed us in this country, which is being used today in many parts of the Arab countries. Where deen was supposed to have started, the very syllabus that we use in our country are being implemented in countries of the Arab countries and the African countries and in Australia and in England and various other parts of the world. Allama Iqbal, the famous poet, mentioned, he said, I fear the day when importance is not given to them, the day that Islam will fall like how Islam fell in Spain. Spain in its glorious days was unmatched, it was unparalleled. What happened to Spain, friends? Overnight it was gone. He says, I fear the day when the Ummah will not recognize the importance of the madrasa and the maktab. The day that day, just like how Spain fell, Allah forbid the Ummah must not fall. Value it, friends. Value it. Islamic disregarded. Instead of sending our children to Islamic knowledge and practice, we would rather send them to extracurricular activities. Wallah, I don't have anything against extracurricular activities. Please do send them. You know what? They need to be physical. They need to be active because of the demands of technology and the demands of the Xbox and the PS4s. They're all the time sitting in front of the screens. They need to go out and they need to be physical. But friends, choose. Is it necessary that your child has to do ballet? Is it necessary that your child has to do chess? Is it necessary that your child has to do arts and drama? Is it necessary that your child has to do piano lessons? Wallah, friends, there's a limit. There's a limit. Yes, allow the child to play a little bit of soccer. Allow the child to play a little bit of cricket. Not a problem. Weekends are there for the child. But don't do it at the expense of the... That same child is going to read Quran the day your eyes close. That same child is going to read Surah Yasin the day your eyes close. Who is going to be there for you? Wallah, friends, nobody is going to be there for you. 3-4 days, they'll come home, they'll catch a chow and then it's gone. It's forgotten. You'll be alone in your qabr. Those who have feelings for you in your heart, about you. And your offshore investments are those kids. Those children, my respected elders and friends. So please, I beg you, I beseech you. At the end, what's going to happen? And it's happening. It's scary. In my area, it's here. Our children will attend Christian schools and will not come to maktabs and not know the basics to read Quran. It is no wonder that our children are turning to Christianity. Our children are turning to homosexuality and lesbianism. Wallah, friends, this is the reality. And let's not shy away from it. It's happening in our societies. In everything we look for production. In everything we look for production. And smart system that has produced models which cannot be reinvented anywhere else. It is a tried and tested system. May Allah fill the qabrs of our forefathers with nur. May Allah give them the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus. With the little that they had, friends, with the little at their disposal that they had, they made sure from somewhere and somewhere they brought an ustad to teach their children how to read Quran. System has produced, alhamdulillah, me and you that are sitting here today. The system has produced, perhaps we have not become millionaires, but wallah, they gave us more than what wealth can buy. They gave us morals, they gave us values, they gave us ethics, they gave us akhlaq, they gave us character. Today we can stand proud amongst people. There is no single more radical, there is no single effort that is more radical in its potential for saving the world than a transformation of how we bring up our children. I leave you with these words. Listen to it very carefully and think about it and discuss it when you go have your lunch. They more radical in its potential for saving the world than a transformation of the way we raise our children. In that regard, inshallah, our madrasa will be open for registrations on Monday and Tuesday, inshallah. If you know anybody in the community, or those who have not as yet registered their children, inshallah, Monday and Tuesday, prior to school will be open, between Afqus 2 and Afqus 4, inshallah. If you know of anybody, please do inform them as well. And also try to make sure that every child in our vicinity, inshallah, is enrolled. We have different programs, programs for our young children. We have programs for our bigger school-going children. We have programs for children that are entering the high schools, inshallah. Whether it's 1 hour, 2 hours a week, inshallah. We're formulating something for them as well, inshallah. We all will try, inshallah.
وآخر دعوانا.